This is a replay of the Wednesday night WGN show. We started around 9:30. It was a surprise to me, too. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Probably tonight it'll be 10:30. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
James, better earlier than never. Well, I guess one time anyway. So, yes, indeed, I misread the memo and didn't realize I'd be doing this, but I am. So, not sure who is out there, but it is live and it is the 29th of October. Should you care to call 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. Now, it occurred to me that you might not care to call or might not be listening at all. So, I was thinking, what could we talk about tonight? And a variety of things. But of course, the elephant in the room is the fact that Halloween is Friday. That's right. Giving you an excuse to eat things that you otherwise never would. Or maybe not. I don't know. I took a look because I figured, you know, they got to have rankings, right? And of course, as far as candy sales, which is the easiest way to determine the Halloween candy rankings, Utah beats everybody else out. And that is not surprising at all, to say the least. We were talking about odd laws yesterday. And this is a state where the happy hour is illegal. So, yeah, can't sell alcohol at a discount at any time, so they have appy hour and sell appetizers. That's right. So with that in mind, of course, Utah would lead the list. But as far as what is the single most popular Halloween candy, I'm pleased to say I'd be willing to eat this. I mention that because on some lists I look at this stuff and think, not on your life. But apparently, no shocker, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the number one American fave for Halloween night, followed by Peanut M&Ms, Classic M&Ms, Kit Kats, and Snickers. And if it's chocolate and bite-sized, it's going to be in a grab bag somewhere. And now, if you're into a fruity, sour taste, don't forget Sour Patch Kids and Haribo Gold Bears, because they held their own, and they're in the top 10, actually. I mentioned Utah is the biggest sugar lover here. That's followed fairly closely by Wyoming, Oregon, Idaho, and Nebraska. What else do you have time to do? As far as who is the least likely to buy Halloween candy or any candy in general, Hawaii, Florida, and California. Yeah. So there you have it. As far as Illinois, I had to look, what is the Illinois favorite? And it's a very respectable answer, Hershey's Milk Chocolate Almond. Yeah, absolutely nothing wrong with that. Yeah, unlike candy corn. All right, we'll talk for a moment about candy corn and then we'll leave it alone. But I did want to mention, because of course, you know it's Halloween and you know somebody is going to buy this, or worse yet, give it away. And it's interesting because these are fighting words. The candy corn chaos is real. Yes, divides families across the country. Do you love it? Do you hate it? Well, apparently you don't eat it too much because it only makes for 3% of all candy orders in October. So someone's buying it, but not a lot of people. Now, where is it the biggest? Mississippi, Nebraska, and Kentucky. Yeah, the least? D.C. and Florida. Oh, Hawaii, too, but they're down on all candy of all sorts. So there you have it. But the interesting part of all this is, you know, I'm always complaining that Christmas starts early, that it eclipses Thanksgiving and Halloween and, hell, Labor Day now. But Halloween starts earlier every year as well. And apparently, Halloween decor sales this year spiked in the week of August 24th. I kid you not. Yeah, there's something just absolutely wrong with that. But we'll talk to that. Well, I'll talk to Jim in Richmond. He's got an update for you. And there's plenty of room for you, 888-876-5593. But since I am talking about major holidays, if you're hosting friends and family for Thanksgiving this year, well, Thanksgiving will be here before we know it. There's always so much to do. So leave the cleaning to the experts. Schedule executive carpet cleaning to come to your home and clean your carpet, floors, rugs, and upholstery before your Thanksgiving gathering. You'll need to do it after, too. But their schedule is filling up fast, yeah, because you want things to look lean and clean and neat before the holiday. Don't wait. Call now for your cleaning booking. 630-990-8600. Executive Carpet Cleaning is the all-family team you've heard about for years on WGN. They're the best value in town. So you worry about the menu, the seating arrangements, the table decorations. Let the pros at Executive Carpet Cleaning show you what clean really looks like. To get your carpet, your floors, your rugs, and upholstery meticulously cleaned before your Thanksgiving gathering, call 630-990-8600. That's 630-990-8600. Or schedule your cleaning at WGNClean.com. Executive Carpet Cleaning, the best cleaning team in Chicagoland.
Did you know I'd go to sleep and leave the lights on, hoping you'd come by and know that I was home, still awake? But 2 years go by and still my light's on. This is hard for me to say, but this is all it's the last song I'll ever write for you. It's the last time that I'll tell you just how much I really care. And this is the last song I'll ever sing for you. You come looking for the light,
Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that's Edward Bear, a group, not a person. And that was the first of Jimmy P's six-pack. It's a seven-pack tonight, actually. He requested seven songs, and he's got pretty good taste, so we'll play them all, of course. Edward Bear was formed in 66 in Toronto. The guy who formed it was actually the guy who wrote and was the lead singer, that Larry Evoy. And they were only around until about 74, and they only had one major hit in the States, U.S. side, and that, of course, was last song, 1973. And yeah, CanCon probably did that. The requirements that Canadian licensed stations play a specific amount of Canadian-originated music, and so CKLW played the hell out of it, and it really caught on and was a big hit coast to coast, and it got Jimmy P's attention. So happy to play it, because I always liked it, too. So we got Jim in Richmond. It's been a while. So Jim, all right, we're ready for the update. What's going on with you?
Okay, first off, I want to thank you and John. You guys have helped me tremendously in the last 2 years.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
This started last week when I got a text message from a collection agency for the anesthesiologist that did my first surgery in June.
Okay.
And I had called in July because they sent me two bills.
Right.
And I said, and I talked to, and I'm like fed up with Humana because you're talking to someone who's sitting in their house. And he's going on and on. And then finally he says, and I gave him the phone number for the billing,
right.
And he couldn't get through and everything. And then finally he says, they paid it. So then I had a surgery again in August, and I got the bill. It was funny. The surgery was on the 12th, and I got a bill on the 19th. You know, they didn't even, in my mind, they didn't even send it to your insurance company.
Anesthesiology is notoriously exempt from a lot of coverage. Now, I will say it's the most important thing you could possibly do, because here's the guys who are bringing you on the brink of death and back, so I never mind paying it, but you do very often get sticker shock on anesthesiology bills. It's pretty much standard business.
Right. The funny thing is my brother, when he had the surgery for his gallbladder, the anesthesiologist says, "Do you have any questions for me?" And he said, "Don't kill me."
Well, no, absolutely. No, it's the truth. And I've always said that the most important person in the theater on operation day is the anesthesiologist. So I don't begrudge them anything. And many, many places for cost reasons are turning to nurse anesthetists. And I'm not going to say anything bad about them. But I will say that if it were my life, it's going to be an anesthesiologist. And I'm going to be interviewing him quite a bit beforehand.
Right. And this is going to be a long conversation. I hope you have time.
Well, then we're going to have the news in between it, obviously. But we'll get what we can do now. All right. But so I'm
and
forewarned.
Then,
right.
I called Humana back after I got the
next
text message
bill.
That it went to community. Then I got this woman in her house. I can hear the young child coughing in the back. You know, you can tell. Little kids
I love it when it's farm animals, and I have been on the phone with roosters, so I understand. Continue.
Right. So she's going through it, and I said, "Well, look it up in June because that happened," and she couldn't find it, and she's telling me all the claims that I had for June, and I said, "Yeah, that's the doctor that did the surgery."
Okay.
And then this is the
glaucoma, and then this
is the retina specialist.
Right.
So then I go, "Well, look in August," because I had the surgery in August.
Right.
And she looked in there. She couldn't find anything.
Right.
So then she turns to me, "Well, I think I need to transfer you over to
someone who knows what they're doing." Yes.
Right. Claims department.
Yeah.
She said, "We have to look up this," and I'll mention the doctor's name, Dr. Cohen. I said, "Dr. Cohen has nothing to do with it. He's the retina specialist." "Oh, I'm real sorry, but I don't." And then all of a sudden she goes, "I'll transfer you." And they hung up on me.
Right, of course.
So then I just, you know, said, "That's it." So then I called the Department of Human Resources in Elkhorn. And after some amazing phone calls, because they kept saying they were disconnected, I got this wonderful woman who takes care of seniors, and I got an appointment November 13th to find a different plan. And so I, you know, set that up, and then she said, "Do you get Medicaid?" I go, "No," because she was going to tell me about these other things.
Right, of course.
"I'll bring all the paperwork and when we go there, and we can go through all this."
In the meantime,
so then,
you're going to have to pay the anesthesiologist. You know that, don't you?
I don't know.
Oh, you will. Yeah.
Because most insurance companies don't pay them?
Not at anywhere near the rate they bill. They are not in network for the most part. Now, I could be wrong, but my experience is that the anesthesiology bill is usually the one that is going to be the biggest.
Right, and that's $1,100 for two surgeries.
Well, that's actually bargain prices.
Right, so I figured that in.
Yeah.
So today I had both eye doctor's appointments.
Oh, good. So, so you got to talk to them in person. All right. Well, hang on. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. And going in person. We'll see how that goes. But yes, customer disservice and outsourcing. Most call centers now are not call centers. They're virtual call centers where you deal with people at home. And some of them, of course, are just jewels. But most of them, you're screaming by the time you hang up the phone, if they didn't hang up the phone on you first. So we'll continue to hear about Jim's traversing the medical establishment, because I have a feeling you've probably been there as well. Now, of course, with the government shutdown, they haven't yet made it official what next year's premiums are going to be, but they did bring out the Social Security COLA, the cost of living increase. That's 2.8%, but the Medicare monthly bill is expected to be $206.50, which is higher than the $188 now, so probably most likely you're going to gain about $40 if you're a senior. So, all right, we can talk about that. We can talk about Halloween. We can talk about Jim traversing the medical establishment and whatever is on your mind coming up next hour right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. What was the second of Jimmy P's six-pack, which will be seven this week? The Globetrotters, who don't exist, of course, and Rainy Day Bells, done for the cartoon kids show in 1970. Kirshner was the label. Of course, Donnie Kirshner was involved in this somehow. And Neil Sedaka and Howie Greenfield wrote it. So that's the deal on Rainy Day Bells. Now, before we get back to Jim in Richmond, I was looking at the most popular Halloween costumes, and I was going to discuss this, but I realized I've never heard of any of these people, and not a one of them, but maybe we'll go over it later. You might know, but I thought to myself, I will wear exactly what I wear every year. Yes, I wear my 1983 Halloween WDHA Dover contest shirt. Yes, t-shirt. I was the judge, and this was suburban New York AOR station, and at the time I was radio editor for Billboard, so they said, well, you've got to come be our judge. Firstly, the biggest shock was figuring out how far away Dover really was, and you're driving forever, but nonetheless, they get up on stage and all that, and I proclaim a winner, and everybody's thrilled with the winner, and here's the problem. Talk about embarrassment. I thought that he was portraying Nina Blackwell from MTV when, in fact, he was Dee Snider from Twisted Sister. Kid you not. So worked either way. But I kept the shirt, and I realize now that shirt is older than some of you who are listening. But I'll be fine in orange and black on Friday. Now, back to Jim in Richmond, who's getting text messages from Irate Billing. And, of course, he'll be irate before it's over, just talking to customer disservice. All right, so, Jim, pick it up there.
As soon as you went to, commercial and stuff, The very first commercial was for Humana Insurance.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, they're big, and there's only a handful of major carriers, and I don't care which one you pick, you can hear horror stories about all of them, so we expect that.
Right, but I was laughing because you always say that the phone is listening to you and they send you stuff.
Yeah,
and
well.
That's what I started laughing so hard. My eyes were tearing.
Well, hopefully they won't ask for a make good.
Right. And to get on what I was saying is, like I said, I'm so interested in getting, help from the senior center or
yes.
whatever.
I hope you will,
Department
too.
Of Aging.
But now today, right. today you went to the doctors.
Right. Okay. So I had my mind set today, and I went to the first doctor that gives me the shot in the eye, and I went up to him, and I says, you have to do me a very big favor. I need to change insurance companies, and if you could please write me a letter describing what my condition is and, and what, you're doing to correct
right,
it.
Right, the treatment to make sure it's covered. Sure,
right,
sure.
Right, and how bad my vision is and everything.
Right.
And right in front of me, he's got his BlackBerry,
right.
and he starts talking into it.
Good.
And he texts the message. But in the middle of the message, he goes, and James is legally blind.
Ah, okay.
So now I finally have been, I know what category I am now.
Well, the legal definition of legally blind is fairly simple. And what it is if your vision is no better than 20 over 200 with correction. In other words, if somebody has 20/200 vision, but it corrects fine, they're not legally blind. But if you're 20/200
right.
and you can't correct it, you qualify.
Right.
Now, also, you can qualify right. if there's peripheral vision problems. But those are the two determinants of whether you're legally blind.
Right, and now that I have where I'm categorized, where that maybe I become disability. I was very happy about that.
Right,
and after that, and then I got a shot of HD.
Okay,
and I had to tell him that I get subsidy for that. It's like $750
right.
from a corporation that's called Good Days.
Right.
And Good Days had to cut out everybody in the middle of the year because right. they lost their funding.
Right.
And I called them because I have to call in October to set up next year. And they said, well, you're good to the 31st, but after that, we're not taking any more people. So I had to tell him that because ILEA HD,
right.
and it's very, very expensive.
Right. So does that mean that after the 31st, you will not be able to have these shots anymore?
He said, don't you worry. There's plenty of charity people out there, and I'll work hard to find one
okay.
for you for
next
year.
Good. All right.
And I was very happy about that.
Yes.
And then we had time in between because we couldn't go to the glaucoma guy last week because of his gallbladder.
All right.
We drove to the place that did my surgery.
Okay.
And I went there and I said, what the heck's going on here with the anesthesiologist?
Right.
It's gone.
Right.
It's gone and this and this and this. Then I got a woman who was behind the counter who either didn't know anything or whatever. And she finally gave me, I said, I need the phone number of the place because I couldn't find the bill
in
the paperwork. So she gave me, and it was in inch and a half print, and I
right.
thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
She gave me the phone number and stuff, and I said, good. And then she said, can you tell me why it was? I can't tell you anything. I don't know. That's separate from us. And I said,
right.
okay, fine. I said, when I was here, you guys did a fantastic job with my surgery, and I'm very happy. I'll come back here anytime.
Right.
And then we left there, and we went to the other doctor. And he came in, and he's very nice, and I told him what was going on, and I said, I need a letter describing what's wrong with my right eye
yeah.
and what happened to it and all that.
Yep.
And by the way, my pressure between the two places went from 25 to 29 in the right eye.
Okay.
So, and he didn't say anything. He said, well, come back in 2 months. He really didn't say
okay.
what was happening, but he did give me 3 vials of Rocklantan
okay.
that I pay $50 each at the pharmacy. So
well,
I was very
good
happy
about
that.
That. And he'll write the letter for you?
Yeah, he said,
right.
I'll write
right.
it out.
Good.
I can't do it now.
No,
and
sorry.
He'll write it out.
Good. All right.
And then
good day.
Now I want to tell you what else I've been up to. I made a decision that I am running a 15-yard dumpster, and I am cleaning out 20 years of crap in this house.
Good for you.
And because everyone's complaining, and I'm planning for the future. So I have my brother and my other brother and son and friends, they're going to come. My brother said today, Good. Get the dumpster here
right.
by next Friday.
Good.
So then my other, once everything is out and cleaned and everything, then I'm calling one of those places that says, one of them out here is Jeff Buys Your House.
Uh-huh.
And I want to see what they're going to give me for my house.
Good.
And, you know, and then I'm trying to figure out if I have to go into assisted living, what I could get out of the house to help pay for it. So
sure.
I haven't been sitting on my butt. I'm
delighted
for the future.
I'm delighted.
And
you're making progress.
And then, right. And then you looked up for me that Human Wave.
Uh-huh.
And I'm, you know, and like I said, that's what I'm going to be asking. Oh, then I'm taking both doctor's notes to Social Security.
Sure, absolutely.
And I'm going to see
yeah.
what they can do for me. Because I hear some, you know, everyone saying they're not going to do nothing for you. But I've heard of other people that they've got, you know, if they needed a walker or something, they've got them
right.
a walker or something.
No, absolutely.
So I'm gonna,
you can probably do very well. And if you've got the right person that you're dealing with, they can navigate the system. And it's Human Wear, by the
right.
way, not Human Wave. Human Wear.
Wear, okay.
Okay.
And, but I'm just saying, I have not been, you know,
I've
turned my whole life around and I'm changing everything.
All right.
So,
it sounds great, and you sound up and you sound healthy, you know, as much as possible given the circumstance.
Right.
That's excellent. A good report. I'm
right.
thrilled to hear about it.
And you said something about family. I just found out today that my sister's going to have angioplasty because they think they found another thing.
Okay.
So, but that's yeah. another time.
Well, right.
But
and let's
you,
face it. We all get older and we all face something, unfortunately. But and you're
right.
most welcome. And it's always good to hear from you. And I can't wait for the next installment.
Okay. And thank you, everybody.
All right. Good deal. Thanks, Jim. Good deal. All right. So Jim's getting on with life. And that is absolutely good news. And, you know, it's no small thing when you are getting to an older age and you've lost your vision. It's life-changing. You know, it's one thing if you're blind from birth, but to face that later on and to be able to tackle it and surmount it is no small thing. And Jim's going to do that, I can tell. So I'll get to Chris in Greenwood, South Carolina. There's a room for you, too. And, more Halloween candy and costumes of places that I've never heard of, and several other things as well coming up. But love to hear from you at 888-876-5593. On WGN Radio. If you are struggling with radio reception where you live or work, there is an answer. And you know I'm going to talk about the Sea Crane Company because they've got the world's best radios. But right now I'm not talking about radios. Not only is the Sea Crane Company the absolute winners when it comes to AM and FM reception, but Wi-Fi radio reception as well. Now, if you haven't gotten a Wi-Fi radio yet, I want you to look at the CC Wi-Fi 3. Even if you have, I'd like you to look at this because it is a terrific answer. For one thing, it will connect to even the most lackluster wireless router or access point. You'll connect even if you're five rooms away. So that's really nice when you've got that good type of reception here too. As I say, Bob Crane is all about reception. But in addition to that, sure, you can go online and do a number of other things, use your phone, but and tell you what, the audio in the CC Wi-Fi 3 is a lot better than any smartphone in the world. You can listen to pretty much anything you want. They have stations, radio stations from all over the world and audio from all over the internet for you to discover easily 50,000 things. And you don't have to sign up for an app. There's no microphone, no ads on the screen, no monthly fee, and it's got a full-size remote control. So it is truly a wonderful solution. But the best part of all, it is intuitive and easy. You can connect to this without any problem. If I'm somehow wrong, that's the beauty of the Sea Crane Company, the world's best in-house customer service, 24 hours a day, people in America who will answer all your questions, walk you through it no matter what is going on. And you can order by phone as well. Yeah, if you can't go online and you're looking to do this maybe for someone as a gift, you can order right on the phone, 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. But if you can go online, you go to ccradio.com, ccradio.com, and you look at the CC Wi-Fi 3. But do it right now. Why am I saying that? Well, because at the moment, 10% off your entire purchase of $75 more at the Sea Crane Company. Yes, whether by phone or online, you save money. So 10% is nothing to sneeze about. So check it out. But the CC Wi-Fi 3 really is a great solution. Sounds good, easy to use, and nothing to sign up for, no apps to download, nothing to do. As long as you've got wireless internet in your house, you know, wireless router or whatever, that's all you need to be listening to thousands of radio stations. So the CC Wi-Fi 3, you go to ccradio.com, you tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
Of lavender blue, dilly dilly, lavender green.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Sammy Turner. That's the third of Jimmy P's six, now seven pack. And yes, Lavender Blue, which actually was not originally Sammy Turner. I think that was a hit for Sammy Kaye in 1949. But it was certainly the biggest thing Sammy Turner ever did. It was on Big Top Records, and that version was produced by Lever Stoller. So quite the signature song as far as that goes. Not the only thing he recorded by far. A couple more on Big Top that pretty like always, but didn't do much. But then he was on Motown for a while. And again, no hits, but some releases. So that's the third of the seven in a row, and aiming to play your requests. Now, we have Chris in Greenwood, South Carolina. So, Chris, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Chris. Hey, Raleigh. Hey, long time no hear.
Yeah, what's up?
Nothing much. You ready for Halloween?
Well, yeah, like I say, I'll be wearing my WDHA t-shirt. That's about it. I used to have all sorts of things set out for the trick-or-treaters, but in Globe, Miami, the Downtown Globe Association normally does a big parade that we can't compete with. But now that I'm saying those words, I haven't thought about it till this minute, but we were flooded, and they've closed downtown. So I'll have to see whether I need to get some candy out there in a hurry.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. You ever look at TV shows that have seances on them?
I don't look at TV shows for the most part, but I've certainly seen my share of seances.
Yeah, I had myself a little seance-a-thon with all the
seance-a-thon,
sitcoms.
I like that. Yeah? Now, so what seances did you view?
I viewed seances from, like, Laverne and Shirley, Fresh Prince, Martin, Too Close for Comfort, Night Court, Adam's Family, Designer Women, and Kate and Allie.
I didn't know that half of those shows would have a seance in the plot. Were there Ouija boards too?
I think Martin had the Ouija board,
all
but
right.
accounts are fake and some of them are real and some of them are kind of depressing.
Right. I guarantee you everyone you were watching on the aforementioned shows was not real. They were not bringing back the dead on network TV. But hang on a minute. Don't go away. We'll stay right there. Seances were absolutely huge at the turn of the last century, right around, 1900 or so. Tremendously big. And they exist today among the gullible. We'll pick it up right there after the news right here on WGN Radio. Finest 1983 on Philadelphia International. Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. Blue Notes were around for years and years before they hit. That was thanks to Gamble and Huff big time. 1983. All right, so that was the fourth of Jimmy P's seven-pack for tonight. So there you have that request. Now, we're talking with Chris in Greenwood about seances on television. Of course, seances go back to, before recorded history. You're always hearing about how the Greek had underground temples and the Chinese had other methods and on and on. But it was really, I guess, the mid-1800s when the Fox sisters brought it back. And I'd say a good 40 years there, it really was a rage. Now, when you're seeing this on television, on sitcoms and stuff, you don't believe a word of this, do you?
No, I don't. Just do it for fun and entertainment, like Alpha.
Yeah.
He used a spoiler. He used a tape recorder to use, like, Kate Tanner's mom's husband, and it was a tape recorder, and it was a fake one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's other seances, like, Kate and Allie, right, that old show?
Okay.
You remember when Jane Curran was like in a trance and she did the spookiest noise that's sort of depressing, like, like Roald Dahl did or Jacob Marley on Mr. Magoo. Like, them noises that make that get you a little teary eyed a little bit?
Okay.
That's the first time I saw it last night because I got it on DVD.
Well, yeah. Well, other than sitcoms, of course, seances in American history ever since the Fox sisters, as I was saying, have been interesting. Mary Todd Lincoln held them in the White House. So, and then, of course, they still have to this day spiritualist camps, places like Lilydale. I've been there, actually, as far as that goes. I can't swear that I know they were talking to the dead, but it was a lot of fun. And, been there, got the T-shirt, all that stuff. But, yeah, the wrappings and the spirit trumpets and all that that stuff. And who's to say? Maybe there's some legitimacy to this, but I can't vouch for it either way.
Yeah, because they bring a group of people around the table and they have candles and
either
put their hands on the table or hold hands and they have a group of people in the medium
of course
does the talking.
Of course. Yeah, this is a pretty regimented thing as far as that goes. And, you know, you might see them as a spectacle, but some people see them as spiritual. And there are still spiritualist churches. And I used to attend one years ago. And, I'm trying to think of the woman's name now, but she was hilarious. I went there more for theater than anything, but I just loved it. I can't swear that they're not talking to the dead, but, you know, Halloween's a good time for it, I guess. But why not?
Better yet, like on the Dying Women, like, it was this. You ever heard of this actress called Pat Carroll?
No. You do know, by the way, I don't watch television. So every time you talk to me about television, all I can kind of say is, uh-huh, because I don't watch it.
Yeah, but they used to, she was like overbearing and was like Julia Sugarbaker's schoolmistress. And the co-worker was fed up with her, so they tried to do a seance to get rid of her.
Mm-hmm.
And that backfired.
Okay. Well, then, of course, Houdini was all out to exposing all of this as a fraud, and I think he vowed to come back if he could, if there was anything to it. We haven't heard from him.
Oh. You remember MeTV, one of the sub-channels?
I'm certainly aware of it. You betcha I know what that is. I've never seen it, but I know exactly what it is.
You know, Svengoolie brought back my favorite two movies, the original Fly movie and The Return of the Fly.
Well, there you are.
And I'm planning on watching that tonight.
Oh, good.
Because I got it recorded off the Fox Movie Channel back in 2010 on DVD.
It's always fun.
And you know that. Talk about scary, depressing voices. That when he was screaming in the spider web is the most scariest and the skin crawling.
Yeah.
So Halloween is full of depressing voices and noise making and haunts and stuff.
Well, just like YouTube, there are entire channels that are basically seances or mediums or whatever. There's some woman who, sadly, she's a medical doctor and her son commits suicide, and she has an entire channel devoted to channeling her son and with various mediums and all that. But, I mean, we're talking, at this point, thousands of videos. So, why not?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, friends. I bet you, like, friends around have, like, phony seances, like, just, like, play, like, a name and stuff, and they get around and, like, practice, like, you know, make fake seances and stuff for Halloween's sake.
Well, that's always good. I think Friday would be a fine day for that. I was looking to see if Marianne Wankowski was appearing anywhere, since, of course, she legitimately talks to people who are no longer here, but I don't think this year she's appearing anywhere.
Yeah, but you know, you remember The Tingler, right?
What's that?
The Vincent Price movie where it breaks loose in the movie theater.
Okay. Not one of the five movies I've seen. Sorry. So, yeah, you really got the wrong person when you're talking to me about anything that's visual. I just don't know.
Yeah, speaking of Friday, because, you know, high school football goes on, and it's a good game. This Friday is going to be Wareshoals versus the undefeated Wareshoals High School versus Abbeville Panthers. And
okay.
It's going to be on Halloween. And the town of Wareshoals, they're going to celebrate Halloween a day earlier because of football on Friday.
Reason enough.
And I'm planning on listening on. Hopefully I'll go to the game, but I'm listening to it on the radio on WZLA.
All right. Well, always wonderful to hear from you.
Oh, yeah. You try them Dunkin' Donuts or Munchkins. I ordered me one of them Halloween buckets, and they good.
Oh, man. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Well, if you survive that, you can survive anything.
That's right. You can survive that new KFC sauteed barbecue chicken.
No.
You can survive anything.
Yeah, oh, there you are. All right. Thanks. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks. Yeah, I do not have a very sophisticated palate. That's for damn sure. I tend to eat like a 9-year-old whose parents are away for the weekend. But still, there are things that I just hear advertised, especially around Halloween time. It would be everything. But where I think, you know, nothing is enticing me to try that particular product. And we'll leave them all nameless for the moment. We'll get to Fran in Austin. We got David in Muskegon and Cindy in Chicago and you two and another one of Jimmy P. Six Packs. Coming up on WGN Radio.
Please, give me the key to the kingdom of your heart. Darling, say that we will never, ever part. Open the door, say you'll be mine evermore.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 1956 on Herald. The Nutmegs were about as underrated as they got. And of course, Story Untold, the big hit, and Ship of Love, both of them from 1955, well known. But there's so many others, and they are just so underrated. And I thought they were wonderful. So Key to the Kingdom was one of my faves. I'm glad that Jimmy P. had requested it. And that is the deal on Herald. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And Fran is in Austin. What's happening, Fran?
Hey, Raleigh. Well, everything's, at least I'm not in the hospital again this Wednesday.
Thank God.
About a week ago that I, yeah, and I think I told you on Trivia Night that I don't know, I'll just lay here and die
right.
Rather than go back there.
Right, right. Be like the animals, just crawl out behind a tree.
Yeah, right. Gary said, no, you're not going to get to do that. And he said, not only that, if I let you do that, I'd be probably accused of negligence.
Oh, no, no,
and,
no. That's an excuse. I don't buy it. No, if you want to just lie there, you should be able to lie there. I'm with you.
Well, I'm not used to being sick. And ever since the heart attack, it just seems like everything ramps up my anxiety. My heart was beating 9 miles an hour, and I let Gary feel it, and he's like, oh no. And then I was having some stomach issues, so I decided I would go again. And every time I go, they can't find what's wrong with me.
Right.
So, you know, it's, I'm starting to think, well, you know, and always, and they know I have panic disorder, so they just say, well,
of course they do. They immediately they're there, little woman, just go home and relax, take a powder.
But it was a nightmare.
Oh, I'm sure.
First of all, I don't know what it sounds kind of woo woo, but I am very sensitive to atmospheres and you know, for lack of a better word, vibes.
Sure.
I'm just very, very, very sensitive to those. And when they were rolling me in there, I mean, it's never good vibes in an emergency room, but, you know, when they rolled me in there, the first thing I could think of is, I got to get out of here. I was almost tempted to say, you know, just turn around, put me
right,
back. You know,
right, exactly. Never mind. Sorry for the confusion.
Never mind.
I'm gone now.
Sorry I bothered you.
Exactly.
You know, I'm done now. I'm going to get a lift and go home. But, you know, I was in a lot of pain. So I thought, okay, you know, and a lot of times I don't listen to my intuition because I think, okay, you're just being an alarmist and, you know, so forth. Well, the first thing, we're going down this one hall and I could smell blood.
Okay.
And kind of a blood and alcohol smell that I think triggered something from the past because I was just, you know, and then, you know, I'm all trapped in there. The rails are up. I've got, you know, stuff on me and all this. And this woman just started screaming. And she was, you know, I understand why she was angry, but she just kept screaming and she kept saying, I want my neurologist now. I want my urologist now. I want medical attention. And, you know, they had, I mean, she was being very abusive, verbally abusive to the staff. And later when I heard what she was upset about, I could understand because she said, you know, I can't feel my legs. And she's had some other problems.
Right.
But it just made my anxiety ramp up to the roof.
Sure.
And, you know, especially smelling that blood and stuff. And I didn't want to push the call light because, I, you know, they were dealing with her. And when they did deal with me, they were very different. I mean, it's just like they weren't listening to what I was saying. And her upset was making me more upset.
Right.
And at first I was thinking, wait, you know, lady, you're not the only person who's hurting in this hospital. Shut the bleep up.
Yeah.
You know. And well, I think at some point I just yelled it out. I just was so, the anxiety got so bad that I yelled out, you know, shut the up. And I said, you're not the only damn person in this hospital.
Oh, man.
You know, but then at the same time I was feeling kind of, not that I was feeling her pain, but kind of an empathy reaction. So anyway, and then they let me go. We called a Lyft to get us home. The Lyft driver is deaf.
Oh. Well, that's gonna be a problem.
So anyway, he pulled up. We didn't even know he was there because we can't ask him because we always say, you know, or, you know, we tell them.
Right.
I always send them a little message that says we're visually impaired. We have white canes. We need you to identify yourself.
Right.
You know, and so forth. And I sent him that text because it said, you can't, you know, he will be able to talk to you in text. He can't take phone calls.
So well, thought, but okay. No, that doesn't work. I mean, no, as far as I'm concerned, no, just no. You need somebody who can, in fact, hear.
But there was no way. I mean, this is like 4 something in the morning, and I don't know. Like, once they give you a ride, I don't know if you can say, I don't, you know, I, if you refuse that ride, I don't know if they can send you somebody else. And, you know, I don't like people discriminating against me because I'm blind. So I felt like I was, you know, okay, if I would do that, even if I knew how, that I would be discriminating against him because he's hearing impaired. So anyway, fortunately, we asked the security guard at the hospital to kind of watch out for us because sometimes we have trouble making the connection with. And so he comes out. Because the guy didn't even say anything. He was sitting there. So he comes out, and then when we get home, I said, are we here? I think we're here, you know, because I, but right. We got out. We had no idea where we were.
Oh, no.
And I had sent him a message telling him exactly where to let us off, you know, by the leasing office and the front, you know, and the building, blah, blah, blah. And he never answered that text. The only thing he did do was get out of the car and help me get out because I was, you know.
Yeah, but you don't know where you were.
Yeah, and then, you know, Gary and I, we don't recognize this. Well, by that time, he was gone.
Of course. And you're in the middle of nowhere.
And we're in the middle of nowhere at 4 o'clock in the morning. I've had panic. You know, I was just, I was panicking anyway. And it was just like, okay, this is the last straw. I don't know what to do. But the good thing was I called this app we have called Ira.
Okay.
And they were able to look at my screen, and they could take pictures, and they actually guided us via my cell phone home.
How far were you from home? How far were you?
Not very far. We were about maybe a half a block, but he put us on the wrong side of the bike lane.
Okay.
So we had to cross the street, and he told us exactly which way to go.
Yeah.
But you know, I thought there's nobody going to be walking around at 4 o'clock in the morning that we can, you know, hey,
right.
How do we get back
exactly.
home? Exactly. And I thought about calling the police, you know, because I couldn't think of anything. And I went, wait a minute, is this Ira app? You know, and I've used it once before in a doctor's office, so it was really
good.
Because I couldn't find, the paratransit people can't take you upstairs. If you have a appointment on the second or third floor, they can't take you because they're not supposed to be out of sight of their vehicle.
Okay.
Some of the drivers will anyway. They know how to bend rules. But anyway, you know, so I'd used it once before because I wound up having an appointment on the third floor and I couldn't find the suite. There's nobody walking around. Usually what I do is I go into an office where I hear voices and I say, can you tell me how to get to suite 300?
Exactly.
You know, or if I hear somebody passing, oh, hi, you know, can you tell me which way is Suite 300? There was nobody and nothing. So I used that app, and they got me right there. So it's just wonderful.
Good. It's called Ira?
Ira, I think, yeah. It's just a fantastic. There's a few things. There's Ira. There's Be My Eyes. But Ira is the one that can help you.
AIRA, Video Remote Intercepting. So it's AIRA.io. All right. Good to know.
Yeah. And I've been paying for it. You can get a free 5-minute call.
Okay.
But I had been paying for it, but I hadn't really used it. But I thought I want it if I need it. And I needed it twice, and it was just so fantastic. And
hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are.
All
right, that's where we'll pick it up after the news on WGN Radio.
Loving you so, I was too blind to see. You set me free. It's gonna take a miracle.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's the original. Yeah, the Royalettes is going to take a miracle. 1965 on MGM. Yeah, winners of the it was in Baltimore. It was a wonderful thing. In fact, the movie Hairspray was based on the show, but it was just great Buddy Dean show. He had a talent contest, and the girls won, the Royalettes, and their contract was the prize was a contract with MGM. They might have done better if it was another label, but be that as it may, they came up with a couple good hits and some wonderful stuff. off over the years, a few years while they were around. All right, so we're talking to Fran and Austin, who survived the emergency room, and more to the point, told us about AIRE, A-I-R-A. I think we've talked, A-I-R-E, I'm sorry, I think we've talked about this before, and I was looking at it during the news, A-I-R-A, there you go, .io, and it looks wonderful. Are you with us?
It is one.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Yeah, and it's...
It is.
It really is, and it's $89 a month, so, you know, you have to be willing to do that as far as for
actually,
the food
plan. Actually, it's just $39. Well, I don't know if we're on some special thing, but I pay $39 a month for it.
That is great.
$29 a month for it. Yeah.
Well,
Gary just corrected me.
I wonder because they've been doing this for years. I wonder, their website says it's now $89, so maybe there is a way to.
Maybe we got in. Yeah. Maybe we got in when it was, because we got in there. You know, I've been on it for a couple of years, and I've used it to read packages, and then I even one time used it to match my socks.
Okay, that's good. Why not? Absolutely.
You know,
that's worthy.
I hadn't really, you know, I had heard that you could use it to find places.
Yeah.
And, they call us the ones who subscribe to it, AIRE Explorers.
Okay.
And it's really great. But speaking of apps that are great and not great, I am really upset. I get more and more upset with Apple Music, and it's all I've really got right now because my computer, I haven't used my computer in a couple of years. I do everything on my phone because I haven't been able to get my computer fixed. I'm trying to find somebody. I can't just get anybody to fix my computer because I need somebody that knows something about JAWS.
Right.
Because a lot of times when sighted people come to fix my computer,
they don't
mess
know.
It up.
Right, absolutely.
Because they don't know about
right.
it. And so I'm, you know, trying to find the right person at the right price and all that. So I'm stuck with my phone for music. And so, of course, I get, you know, all the stereo. I mean, I don't get the original stuff, and some of the stuff they have is just horrible.
Yeah,
as you know, but it doesn't sound like the original, but you know, it's what I got, so I use it. But a lot of the songs I've been looking for that I used to be able to play, they don't have them. And I have a friend who says, well, you can get anything you want on Apple Music, you don't need
well,
to
that's
you
probably
know, have a,
that's probably not know, true it, yeah anything you want if it's of the ilk of Taylor Swift. But when you're saying, gee, I want to go 10 deep into the Nutmegs, it's not going to be quite as friendly. You know, it's just like you can buy all these MP3s from Amazon, yes, but God forbid you want something old. And somebody, well, actually, I once paid for a file I thought I didn't have. Turned out I did have the record, but it was an old Laverne Baker record nobody ever heard of. And, you know, they had it, and I thought, okay, well, whoever ripped it didn't listen while they were ripping because it was so overmodulated I could barely know it was her.
Oh, my God. Sometimes they play versions of things that sound like they got them off KTEL.
Right. Well, they did. I mean, I hate to say it, but yes, they get them off. If they get them off CDs, and it's old enough, you're usually toast because it's either been remixed or remastered or it's an alternate take. So yes,
I used to be able to listen. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I would bet. I'm sitting here online now and I'm looking because Austin certainly has its downside, don't we? No. But it also has. Also has nothing but computer stores and computer repair shops. And I bet you somebody there does this. So it's a question of finding them. But if you were anywhere else, I'd say, I don't know. But Austin, I bet you can find somebody. And it might be a thing where you're going to do some social engineering where you need to start calling and ask them, well, do you know of anybody who does this?
Yeah, I got to get, because I've got so much music and I've on my computer that I've downloaded over the years. I mean, and some of it I got from a guy who had a site that had a lot of these old versions, you know, the original 45 versions of things.
Right.
But I was trying to play Rupert Holmes all night long.
Oh yes, yes.
And it
well, of course, it's not the Rupert Holmes didn't do it. You got to understand, it's the street people.
Oh, it's the street people.
You see, it's Rupert Holmes actually said, you know,
the neighborhood.
Right. He actually, you know, wrote it and sang it, and it's the flip side of Jennifer Tompkins.
Oh my God! Oh, that horrible song.
Well, right. Well, that's him too. But so you have to look at the street people. That's where it's going to come up. It won't come up.
I looked for Rupert Holmes, and then I thought maybe it's under. I thought it was the neighborhood.
No. Nope.
So I tried that, and they played a Rupert Holmes song that's called All Night Long, but it's a different song. Okay, so now I've got to see if they'll play this.
Yeah, so we have to hear a little of it. Since it is a wonderful song, we have to hear a little of it. So.
But if you listen for days to what the radio plays, you'd think a guy dreams of bubblegum every night. Well, you can take it from me. At a quarter to three, a guy doesn't dream of 1, 2, 3 red light. He thinks how he made her cry when he said goodbye, and prays that she'll see him tomorrow night. The foolish things that he said run through his head all night long.
Lovely song. Yeah.
It is, and I was kind of in the mood to hear it. Now, okay, I'm glad I called, because now I know who I'm looking for.
Right, the street
hopefully.
People. And I'll tell you what happened.
Yeah.
And it was Rupert Holmes. He wrote, recorded, and sang it. But it was originally, he had written Jennifer Tompkins for The Cufflinks, and a deal fell through to record it. So he thought, well, all right. And he just became the street people and released it himself. I never cared for Jennifer Tompkins, but I was working at a little FM radio station that nobody listened to anyway. Playing vinyl, and I was bored, and so I flipped it, and this was what was on the other side, and I thought it was a great little record.
That's
so I'm sure
I love that.
Six people probably heard it when I played it, but that was you know, that was the deal. That was Rupert. So yeah, you have to look for it under street people, because they won't know, Apple Music or anybody else won't know that that's Rupert Holmes, any more that they would know that Ron Dante was the Archies and the Detergents and everything else.
Right. I just got that because I thought it was the neighborhood. It's the street people.
Street people.
Yeah. So now I'll see if they'll play that. But there's a lot of times where I'll find something. Like I've got this app called Shazam.
Oh, sure.
And I can find something, but it won't play it.
Oh,
like
God.
It won't play do 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 ba ah.
You know, the other thing
Now I can't even find it, but I used to find it.
Well,
and
do you ever go to YouTube?
It would play.
Do you ever go to YouTube, or is YouTube completely not visually friendly?
YouTube is not.
I was afraid of that.
Not really. I mean, I've been able to find a few things on there that I wanted, but it's so cluttered, and just I hate using YouTube.
And I can see why.
You know, but,
yeah, because it absolutely does help to see it. But there are a ton of Doo 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 Ba Ahs by Burt Keys on that. So and also the version by the Insiders. So and it was also done by the Exceptions on Mercury. So there's a lot of Doo 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 Ba Ahs. So yeah.
Okay, I'll have to try that, because I usually what I do is I go and dictate into the search field.
Right.
And sometimes this stuff some comes up that I want, and sometimes it doesn't. And I cannot. If anybody who's visually impaired or blind and listening to this and knows a trick for using YouTube, I would love to know it, because I don't seem to be able to get much of anything on YouTube. And I'm not the most techie person in the world. I mean, I'm good with what I need to do most of the time. I can do my online shopping, and this thing the other night saved our, I mean, we would have been standing out there until whatever time somebody came out, you know, or would have had to call the police or, you know, whatever. And, you know, so I was glad I was able to use that. There's,
well, you know, I just went to YouTube to look at it, and there are tons of versions, but I had to laugh because someone apparently, God love him, I don't know who he is, HWAJ5300 was the guy who uploaded it, and he said, if you ever heard of Raleigh James, I need not say anything regarding this song. If you never heard of Raleigh James, let me tell you, this is my opinion that she is the highest authority on old R&B that I've ever listened to. She's a talk radio host. I love that. She moves around a lot, but she's great. This song is what she used to open her show with. So
HW, that's great. Yeah, I missed it tonight. I didn't hear it. I turned it on and you were playing one of Jimmy P's six pack.
You see, what happened was I got a memo last week that I misread, an email that I misread, and the email said, you need to start early. Oh, God. And so today they sent me, you were just reminding you, yeah, it should have reminded me last night that the game was on, but nonetheless, turned out I started about a half hour early. So that's
because when I heard you, I heard the song, and then I heard you saying, we'll get back to Jim, and I thought, back to Jim? I haven't heard Jim yet. What do you mean you'll get back to Jim?
Right, exactly. No, it was, I don't know, about 9:35 Central Time that I was on the air. But so obviously I missed the memo, so I had to do it, and I was happy to do it because I had to do it. But I did say, please don't ask me to do this again. And so...
I was going to say, are you going to be coming on early from now on? Or do we just...
Like never. When is never?
Okay.
So it was my, you know, I mean, again, I take full responsibility for, if I had read it correctly when I saw it, I would have said, please choose another option. But I didn't, and I wasn't going to, an hour before the show, tell them you're SOL. Of course I'd do it. So,
right.
So
yeah.
I did, and had to read a live commercial as well. So, yeah.
Right.
I don't mean for the Sea Grain Company. I read some, I don't know.
I thought, I thought, is something wrong with our clocks or our phones, but everything was fine. So, I don't know.
Something's wrong with me. I just don't know how to read anymore is what it comes down to. So I wasn't going to inconvenience them for my error, but at least this time I told them, don't do this again. So hopefully they won't.
Yeah. And it's great to hear Jim was sounding better than I've ever heard him.
And he sounds proactive, like he's going to be doing things. That's
so
wonderful.
I didn't hear the first part of his call. Is he selling his house? He's selling his house.
He's in the process right now. He's renting the dumpster and starting to get rid of everything that he's collected. You know, we're all pack rats to one degree or another. And then he's going to call the guys who buy houses to see what his might be worth and what he might have in it that is valuable and that he can sell. And then look at assisted living options. So we're on the way. And the other thing is...
That is just so great to hear.
It is wonderful. And the other thing is he got the knockout bill from the anesthesiologist, which, you know, we'd expect. But the funny part was trying to call customer service. They all work at home now. And, of course, he had all their children in the background. I said, that's all right. I usually have roosters. So,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh.
So that's the deal. All right, and I have a request that you made a long time ago coming up tonight. This hour, actually, the Orlons don't hang up.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
Right. So we will get to that and more.
All right, sounds good.
All right, thanks for calling. Appreciate it, Fran.
Sure.
All right.
Okay.
Good
Bye.
Deal. So, yes, we will do that. We have one more of Jimmy P's seven-pack this week, and then it'll be Don't Hang Up by the Orlons. Yeah. And sadly, Steve Caldwell died. I'm so upset about this. I really am. Because, once again, he's on my callback list. He called a few times. Did I call him? No. So, I was going to play a Dallas Frazier, too, because that was another one. He died before I called him back. But it's a real loss. Stephen Caldwell was the guy who did the Frog Voice in all those wonderful Orlon records. So, and he was a great guy. He actually was a bus driver in the Philadelphia area for forever. I think pretty much high up in that union, too. So, had a day job, but continued to sing with the Orlons, what were left of them, because, as you know, one of them was murdered. That was just horrible. Opened up her door in, like, 1977 and blown away. And they never solved it. All right, so we got plenty of stuff to discuss, and we will right after this on WGN Radio.
Dry your eyes. There's no need to cry. I'm so sorry.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's the seventh of Jimmy P's six-pack. Yes, indeed. And a fine song it is, Dry Your Eyes. Gotta love that. Brenda and the Tabulations. And that was an interesting story. That was on Dion. And Dion was a label started by Georgie Woods' wife. You know, Georgie Woods, the guy with the goods on WHAS and WDAS. Right. Well, his wife, who used to be the MC at the Uptown, started this label. She had found Brenda and the Tabulations actually at a playground. They were, like junior high school age, and recorded them, and the first thing they did, Dry Your Eyes. So there you have it, 1966. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And we have David in Muskegon. What's up tonight, David?
Oh, I've been so busy, Raleigh, I don't know what I'm going to do.
All right.
I had to call Amazon today. I'm totally blind, by the way.
Right.
And the reason I say that is I called their customers with disability support.
Uh-huh.
And because my Alexa kept freezing up, one of them.
Uh-huh.
And see, I have three of them. And they told me they couldn't screen share with me.
Okay.
To find out what the problem was.
Okay.
They told me that they couldn't do it.
They probably weren't set up to do it.
Yeah. Well, in the past I've screen shared with them. If I had a problem, got the problem resolved.
Well, doesn't always work that way, does it?
Nope. And so what I did, I said a few choice words to that person. As I said, you know, this customer's with disabilities. Support is nothing but a front to make your company look good.
I like that. That's good. Did they respond?
Oh, that man didn't know what to say.
Good.
Because I used some choice language.
Well, that aside, when you start waving the disability flag, hopefully that got somebody's attention.
Oh, yes, because I called. All right. Then I called another department and got it fixed.
Okay.
Because I need it for my work.
Right. No, I figured you would. You did the exact right thing. You wave that flag as much as you can because they're not going to turn you down for that. But the first rep you got really couldn't have helped you. They were not in a position to do it. So you went to somebody else who helped you, and hopefully the problem has been resolved.
Yes, and all right. I did file a complaint about the customers with disability support.
All right.
And I did that.
Good.
Because the reason I did it is because a lot of visually impaired people that use Amazon depend on that.
Right. Of course. Absolutely. You did the right thing. So what else?
What else is new? Well, I possibly got a job lined up.
Yay. What are you going to be doing?
I'm gonna have my own program.
Say what?
I'm going to have my own program.
On what?
On a radio station here in Muskegon.
And they're going to pay you?
Yep.
All right. Well, good for you.
I told them I have my music together.
Uh-huh.
I did a, I have it together. If they need my music, I can do their music and what they're playing on their playlist.
All right. So when will you know for sure?
He said he would call me. I don't know when that's going to be.
All right. Well, let me know. I'll be curious. As soon as you get the okay and it's a definite deal, we'll give it a plug on the air.
Oh, cool.
All right.
Yeah, because I ran into the owner of the station was in the bank.
Okay.
And he heard me talking about some of the bands that I have on my playlist.
Okay.
And that's what he want me to do. Has played some of the bands that I play, got on my playlist, and he wants me to, on my breaks, you know, like play five songs, tell who the bands are, and, you know, tell where they're from, like ZZ Top, which is from...
Yeah, right,
you know,
absolutely. Well, yeah, we got it. Well, good, 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 good. Well, keep me posted on that. I want to know.
Yes, and... I've been busy because I noticed something. Alpha Media sold some of their stations.
Well, all of them, actually. Yes, they absolutely did. That's true. They LMA'd it in May, and the deal closed in September.
Oh, with Connoisseur?
Yeah, right, exactly. And Jeff Warshaw's company. Yep.
Because they bought KZLB.
No, I know what they did. That's all true. Aware of what they did. Yeah, Connoisseur's been adding quite a lot to their portfolio. But the Alpha thing wasn't a surprise because, as I say, the deal started in, was consummated. Well, not consummated, but the deal was signed in May and they did an LMA. So they've been running it.
Okay, limited marketing agreement. And, I know some of the other stations that Connoisseur didn't buy of theirs, another company's got them.
Yeah.
And that's in, Joliet, Illinois.
Yes, that'll be Joliet, by the way. But yes, I'm well aware of that. So anyway, this puts Connoisseur now into one of the top 10 groups in terms of number of stations. So that's what they did.
Oh, okay. Because with their programming, they do a real good job. They owned stations at one time here in Muskegon, and they sold to Cumulus, and there was a trade of stations. I believe it was like 2008, where they traded with Clear Channel, and they traded the stations in Kalamazoo. Cumulus, they traded with Clear Channel, and they got the stations in Kalamazoo,
Not unusual at all, because sometimes you're over the ownership limit in one market and you've got to divest a number of stations. And so you see them rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic, of course.
Oh, okay.
So that's why when you suddenly see that somebody's buying an iHeart station, the iHeart probably had to divest. Now, at the moment, I don't think they're doing that. But as each of them would get larger, they would wind up with ownership that exceeded the limits in various markets, and they'd agree to divest this, that, or the other. You see that with television, too.
They have a television?
No, I say you see that with the television groups, that very often, when they're consolidating, they'll have to spin off several markets.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of that, you know, here in Grand Rapids, they do not have a CBS affiliate. They have two stations that are running the same programming off of ABC Television Network.
Yeah, it's interesting. I thought they had WWMT as far as
Nope. That's Channel 3 out of Kalamazoo.
Right.
That's a CBS affiliate.
Right, but that would serve part of Western Michigan. That they would consider that as far as that is. But yeah, Wood TV is not, and all that. So yeah, you're starting to see that, and it is interesting that the alphabet soup networks, you know, the old esteemed CBS, NBC, ABC, sometimes are taking a back seat to some of the newer networks.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I noticed that, because like CBS News, I can get that on my Alexa, but the alphabet soup, like the NBC and CB and ABC. Now, NBC, I've never really could. Their news programming, to me, wasn't up to par. I wasn't really satisfied with it. And the reason is they didn't go in depth on stories. And I like a network that'll go in depth on stories.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of that. Now, it's interesting what's going on with more changes with Disney divesting some stuff and all that. So it's no longer going to be MSNBC. It's going to be MS Now. You know, there's a lot of talk about that this week. So you can, you know, all that stuff is online. You can read about it. So
okay.
So sure.
Yes, because I keep track of what's going on in the media. I try to anyway,
all right,
because that's my hobby.
Well, good to have a hobby.
Oh yes, and I think my hobby keeps me busy, because from the time I get up in the morning and have my coffee and get woke up, I don't have to go to an appointment, what I'll do is I will get my music started and try to figure out what I have to download to get set up and everything. And that's what I will do. And I'll spend all day on it.
Well, there you go. Gives you something to do, and now it's going to pay off on the radio, and I can't wait to hear about it. So call me and tell me when it happens.
Yes, ma'am.
All right,
I will.
Thanks. Appreciate that. Talk to you later. Okay, bye.
Uh-huh.
And I want to move on, because I've got more commercials to play, and then I'm going to Eduardo in Tampa, because he was hanging on at the end of the night last night, and we never got there. And we are going to get there tonight right here on WGN Radio. Raleigh James, and there it is, the Orlons, 1962 on Cameo. And yeah, the late Steve Caldwell. Now, I hate saying that, and that wonderful frog voice on the Orlons, and I know Fran likes that, so she gets to hear it. All right, so I'll shut up, and we'll join Eduardo, who, like I say, he hung on till the end of the show last night. We didn't get there, so these minutes are all his. How's it going, Eduardo?
Hey, Raleigh. Yeah, actually, I was hanging in there, and then I think you were talking to some lady, and I figured what. You're probably going to take you to the end there, so I'll just call back today.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's okay. Yeah.
So what's up?
You can have a lot of callers, too, especially since you got back here.
Yeah.
And then you had the game, I think. Wasn't there a game on?
Well, it's interesting. Tonight we were on early because of a game, and last night we were on late because of a game. Oh, yeah.
I got a couple of stories that are pretty good. I think both of them from the CBS Weekend Show. One of them is Chad Kasem, Acoustic Sounds in Salinas, Kansas. He has like a whole library of vinyl records.
Uh-huh.
I think he's inside of a church or something. But it's pretty neat places. He's got different music like rock, blues, jazz.
Yeah. It is. It's Salina, Kansas. You're absolutely right. And they do mail order stuff.
Okay.
So, absolutely.
That'd be a neat place to tour.
Oh, yeah. So many places like that. Thank God there's still a few left, like Val Shively. You know, I consider that to be the shrine. But there are, in a few markets, a number of number of places that are interesting.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now at the factory where they're making these records. Pretty neat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. If I'm in the area, I'm sure I can ask for a tour. You never know.
Well, you'd probably have to go there just for this, because I'm not sure why else you would want to go to Salina, Kansas.
Not the diehard place to tour.
No. I mean, it doesn't even have the largest ball of twine or anything.
Okay.
You know, those little of the market places, as far as that goes, you'll see that everywhere. And the reason I mentioned the largest ball of twine, because it's in Cawker City, Kansas City, and Kansas. And it's over 8 feet in diameter, and it's over 10 feet high, the largest ball of twine.
Yeah.
Isn't that exciting?
There is a lot of people that are buying the vinyl records, right? That's making a comeback?
Right, more people are. Now, this is not going to make a comeback to the point that this would be mainstream purchases by any means. But as far as specialty items, you know, there's a niche for it that absolutely is growing. And, of course, I gag at the prices, just fall over dead gagging. And John has to remind me that, yes, and the McDonald hamburgers used to be a dime. So in terms of inflation, I won't say that this is outpacing inflation, but it's still, when I'll see an album and it says like $40, like $40, what happened to $299? But you know, so yeah, but I'm sure it is keeping up with with inflation as far as that goes. And most of the pressing,
back in the day, yeah.
Over the years, most of the pressing plants retooled. Probably the single biggest pressing plant was always Terre Haute, Indiana. And, you know, they retooled a few times when CDs came out and all that. So I don't know how many active pressing plants are pressing vinyl these days.
Yeah.
You know, as far as that goes, in any large, and it doesn't have to be in large numbers. Again, this is a specialty item, not for mass appeal. So they're not going to try to press 500,000 copies of anything. So,
yeah. You know, I even been in some of the stores, just to name one that I can remember, Kohl's, I think, has the record player.
Oh,
where you can put in the
comes full circle. Department stores, first place where they used to sell radios, and then Rack Jumpers usually handled the record section of the department store, where it wouldn't be the department store itself, it'd be Racked. But I would say there's probably, maybe four dozen pressing plants, but some of them are just real, real specialty where they're not going to do anything in great volume. But over the years, I used to love Leon Rene. He had a couple labels in the 40s, Excelsior and Exclusive, you know, this true hardcore R&B. And what happened to him, unfortunately, was he had a great pressing plant, one of the nicest plants in the L.A. area. Well, it only did 78s. And so here comes 1949, and that was the big war between Columbia with the 33 and RCA with the 45. And they both won. Of course, the singles were out on 45 and albums were out on 33, but nothing was out on 78. So it damn near killed Leon Rene. He later came back with the Class label and some other things. But it is not easy to create a pressing plant, and it's really not easy to retool one. So when you look at where we are today, it is not a profitable venture because the numbers just aren't huge. Now, that's not to in any way cast aspersions against the specialty market that's there, but it's never going to be mainstream again.
Yeah. I mean, everything's online. I mean...
Of course, the formats change routinely, as I say, from the 78s to the 45s and 33s. Then we got the 8-tracks, God help us from that, and the cassettes, and then, of course, CDs, and then downloads.
Mm-hmm, right.
You know, downloads the first time where we weren't distributing the physical media. But after that, today, I think it's 70% of all sales are from streaming. So not even downloads, but actual streaming. So this is people who are not in any way taking possession of the media. So there's not a demand, again, a mass appeal demand, but there's absolutely a specialty demand, and that's why when I say there's probably four dozen plants, if you go back 10 years, there was probably only a dozen. You know, I mean, they've ramped up, but in small, parameters. They're not going to press 500,000 albums.
Yeah. But if you went to a country, I mean, like Brazil, just to use that as an example, obviously, remember, I told you that, Brazil 365, so, I mean, that's streaming.
Well, I don't care if it's Brazil or, Zimbabwe, it's still, I don't think you'll find anywhere where vinyl is the predominant music methodology. It's a specialty item. I don't think there's anywhere where it would be the bulk of the sales. So, it's nice, but, I'm surprised that there are as many pressing plants left as there are, growing up, because that's a lot more than 10 years ago. That'll fall eventually because it's, as I say, it's not easy to do a pressing plant. But we'll see. We'll see how many people, it's just like how many people went out and bought Macintosh tuners. Nothing sounded better. Still true. Those wonderful, pear-shaped sounds of a tube and all that. But that specialty, that's not going to be the average person. So the numbers are slower. Well, lower. You've ended the show, and I'm sorry it took so long. And call me back again. Call earlier, and we'll talk more.
Yeah, I guess I could talk to you about Haskell Library tomorrow. But can I request a song?
Real quickly. I got 10 seconds. What is it?
Okay. Evil by Earth, Wind, Fire, or either Can't Hide a Love.
Okay.
You can't do evil, you can do Can't Hide
a Love. All right, thanks.
Okay.
We thank Bob for keeping us on the air. He absolutely watches the clock, so I got to say goodbye and ask Jack in St. Charles and Dave in Northside and Cindy in Chicago to call me back tomorrow night. We'll be on right at 10, I think. So until then, thanks to Bob. Thanks to John for screening your calls. Thanks to you for calling. And until tomorrow, that's a wrap. I'm Rodley James. It's WGN Radio.
Homer Jones was a man who loved his black-eyed peas and cornbread. He loved to plow the earth and go hunting with all his pound dogs. With a three-day gray beard on his face at the break of dawn, he put his overalls on, throat cone to the chickens, milk the cows, and then fed the hogs. He had a young wife who had a dull life and a hired hand who was a handsome man, and it didn't take long for them to love one another. But it didn't take long for Homer Jones to become a bachelor with jealousy in one eye and satisfaction in the other. The wisdom of his neighbors had been self-ordained, and Homer had them mumbling in confusion every Monday. Cause Homer got his wagon out, then hitched up his favorite mule and always went to church with them on Sunday. One day the high sheriff came, told Homer that there'd been many complaints about the disappearance of the hired hand and Homer's missus. With total confusion on the sheriff's face, he took a one last look and left Homer's place, and Homer just grinned and hummed and went about his business. Things that the county thought they knew were the things they knew they couldn't prove, and the gossiping tongues of the curious grew much longer. They kept looking for something they couldn't find, cause the structure of their simple minds couldn't cope with the intellectual thoughts of Homer. The wisdom of his neighbors had been self-ordained, and Homer had them mumbling in confusion every Monday. Cause Homer got his wagon out, and then hitched up his favorite mule, and always went to church with them on Sunday.
WGN Radio, I'm Rodley James. That's Dallas Frazier. And again, I feel terrible because I meant to call him back and he died in January. In fact, on Elvis's birthday, January 14th, 2022. But he was terrific, wrote Alley Oop and so wrote so many wonderful, wonderful songs, Elvira and everything else. But I always liked the conspiracy of Homer Jones. Mohair Sam, that was probably my favorite thing that he wrote. And he would have been 85 yesterday. And grew up in Bakersfield, and in 1988 became a minister, and as you can tell from the conspiracy of Homer Jones, he was really made for that. 1969 on Capitol, it was. All right, so I guess I can also tell Eduardo we can call back since the show is not over. Yeah, we started an hour, a half hour earlier tonight for reasons that, well, I misread the memo, or I wouldn't have agreed. But I did, and so I did, but, you know, I just thought it was all over. Well, in some ways, maybe the show ended before it began. Dave on the North Side, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't know. How about yourself?
Okay, I guess.
So what is it you want to hear?
All right, yeah, I got a few requests.
Let's hear them.
All right, will you play something from Bing Crosby, I think?
Well, it depends what. That's a big library.
Okay. I just wasn't sure.
What in particular do you want to hear from Bing Crosby?
I want to hear three from him. Last Saturday night, WCB Saturday Night Jukebox Hour played Bing Crosby for an hour. So, yeah. One song, Louise.
Okay. What else?
And then... I Got Plenty to Be Thankful For.
Okay. What else?
And then the last one with Louis Armstrong. I think it's called They Call That Jazz.
Okay. All right. What else?
Okay, that's okay for that. You were talking to David from Itasca last hour, and he was talking about work. He always talks about music, and I wondered if maybe you could have like a three-way call where I was wondering if you could make me like a flash drive.
Oh, God.
I don't know. I don't know how to get a hold of him to talk to him about
no,
it.
No, I don't think that's going to be happening, is my guess.
Okay, because he talks about all his music and...
Yeah, and it's more of a hobby. But I'll tell you, if he gets this little radio job that he mentioned that he thinks he will, maybe they stream. And if they do, we'll certainly be happy to share the word on where you can hear it.
Yeah, I don't have internet or anything.
Then you're SOL. I can't help you.
Yes, and he talks about his music so much that I thought maybe he would enjoy making music.
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's too bad. Because I mean, the only place I know where to get your music is, like, from your radio station, because you really don't hear doo-wop anywhere. I lived in Chicago and grew up with LS was like the closest thing to doo-wop in Motown.
Well, there was a lot of that in Chicago. You just weren't listening to those stations.
Yeah, I guess I didn't get them back in the day. I didn't know about them or something.
Or didn't even know they were on the dial.
Yeah, I used to listen to 98.
Oh, you're talking about FM. But, you know, back in the day, all this stuff was on AM, you know, like WGES and all that. So tons of stations.
I searched around a lot in, I mean, the 70s and 80s, and I couldn't find them by then. I think most of that music was played out. I think the set list kind of changed.
Right, right. Well, you're right. By the 70s and 80s, you're right. But yeah, you had on the weekends, like you mentioned, you had some specialty shows.
I listened to one NIB with a Mr. Tibbs.
Uh-huh.
It was on like late night, and he was like deep blues, and he'd talk about like all the restaurants from the South Side. He'd play a song, he'd cut in the middle, he'd start talking about, like, Adam's Ribs and stuff, best ribs in town and stuff,
right.
And then he'd go back and, yeah, he was cool.
Yeah, absolutely. But many of them bought their own time, and so they would sell it to small businesses in their neighborhoods, and that's the commercials would reflect it, and they were a lot of fun. But, yeah, Herb Kent had the Cool Gent. He had an oldies show for a while on FM. And that was, he died in about 2016, but he was doing that pretty much up until the time he died. And there were a number of others, but you didn't hear it, you know, every day, that's for sure.
Okay, and, all right, I'm going to move on. Feel sorry for Fran with her Uber driver, but I've been in the same situation where they don't understand you. It's
right.
Difficult.
Right.
They drop me off down the street, and I'm like, where am I? Because I can't see.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Here in Chicago, it's crazy. And then this guy on the FM DJ, he talks about the picture disc that they come out with the music.
Right.
You know, and he says that the audio quality on them is horrible.
It wasn't great. That's absolutely true, as far as that is. There's a picture on the surface. Obviously, the disc didn't form a picture in a speaker or anything like that. But they looked all right, but in many cases, the quality wasn't great.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. So he's saying stay away from that. I can understand what you're saying about them charging you like $50 for an album because they're not making any money pressing these things nowadays.
Well, and not only that, everything's gone up. You know, when I think about $2.99 for mono and $3.99 for stereo, literally, you know, hamburgers were 10 cents each at the fast food places. So you look at it now, and by comparison, when you see an album that's $39.95, that's probably an appropriate price, but it still, you know, causes my hair to stand on its edge because it just seems outrageous. But when you think about it, it's not.
No, you made me laugh when you said John's like, I remember my hamburger's like 10 cents. And
yeah.
And I laughed because when I went to school, there was a McDonald's by our school, and it said, the sign on McDonald's said 10 million sold, and it said guaranteed change back from a dollar. You could buy a Big Mac, a fry, and a shake for like 89 cents.
Oh, of course. The White Castles and Royal Castles, they literally were a dime each. Of course, you know, you had to have several of them to make a meal, but nonetheless. But sure, McDonald's, yeah. I remember when it was much less than a million sold when they were advertising that, and the numbers went up and up and up. So, sure.
Yeah. I want to ask a question about TV. as like the Nielsen ratings. Can they tell, like, if you just leave the TV on and you're not watching it, or if you leave it on mute, like, you know, because I was like me, I put it on mute.
You know, when you're talking TV, you're talking about a world I know very little about. But I can tell you that Nielsen was the envy of all the rating services, particularly radio, in that they put a device in the television, so it didn't require somebody to fill out a diary or answer questions or things like that. But whether at this point in time the device can know if someone is actually hearing it, I don't know. Now, what they've done with, I assume they have something, but what they've done with radio is they've done something called a people meter, where you wear it, and you wear it for a period of time, and it picks up any signals that are audible. Obviously, it's not going to know if something's on mute, but they're looking at radio. But it will pick it up. Now, back in the day, it used to be all diary method, and before that, it was telephone and in-person coincidentals and things like that. But with the diary method, there's some wonderful stories, like a station in Baltimore where, when you looked at the diaries, because program directors were able to do that, they could go to, at the time, Beltsville, Maryland, and look at the books. And my all-time favorite story, Bob Moody, was PD of a station in Baltimore. And at that time, WBAL was so strong, a news talk station, you know, nice 50,000-watt station and all that. And he looked at one of the diaries of somebody who was writing that they listened all day. And in the comments period, at the end of it, the person said, "Leave the radio on, teaching my parrot to talk." And we laughed for years about the parrot demo and how you would sell that to advertisers. And there was another one where the woman wrote down, "I'm filling this out for my grandmother who died, but this is what she would have listened to." So maybe, you know, we talk about the 90 to death demo. Well, that was the death demo. So, you know, there's a lot of things where this is far from an exact science, and it is on every level no matter what, because it's clearly extrapolated. They're not asking everybody like that. But I would assume, in answer to your question, and I don't know, that they probably have something that can sense human presence. But let me see if I can find something else about that. But that's what it is. It's a device put in the television.
Yeah, I didn't know how sensitive it was, if it could.
Yeah. The big ratings company for years was Arbitron, and originally Arbitron was the American Research Bureau. The Arbitron was the device they had that they put in television sets, but when they were calling themselves the American Research Bureau, they couldn't get many Hispanic respondents, so they changed their name to Arbitron, the name of the device. But I would bet that they can probably sense human presence. But now the question is, can they sense its human presence versus canine? You know, if you've got something large, a Leonberger, I don't know. That's a great question. That's a great question. I'm going to look.
Last two. I want to move on. Last two things. I wonder. All right. I listen to a show on TV. It's called Common Knowledge. It's a quiz show.
Okay.
And they have another one called Chart Shark, and they ask like general common sense questions. And then one night they had on their Verizon Wireless, I guess, according to their answer, spends $12 billion on advertisement?
Well, that's actually not only a quiz show. That's a commercial that one of the MVNOs is using now to try and say we're much cheaper because we don't do that. You hear that all the time. It's on a commercial. You know, obviously, you know what the MVNOs are, right?
No.
Okay. Well, when you're talking Verizon or you're talking T-Mobile or you're talking AT&T, you're talking about companies that have their own network to provide the service. However, there are people who will buy the companies who will buy the bandwidth in bulk and will sell it at significantly less prices. And so this has become so ubiquitous that Verizon, for instance, bought a lot of these. Carlos Slim in Mexico had a bunch of them, had Track Phone and Straight Talk, and there were many others. And so Verizon bought them. They own them, in addition to owning Visible. Visible is Verizon's in-house MVNO. So they're selling the service at greatly, greatly discount rates. And so they love to tell you that it's the exact same service. And I'm not here to knock it because I use these services because they're that much cheaper. But here's the big but. It is not the exact same service from the standpoint of you will get all the towers that they directly own or lease, but you will not get any of the towers that they have roaming agreements with because they're just not giving that to the MVNOs. So when you're doing that, your service is somewhat degraded, but it is such a significantly lower price that it's worth it.
What do you notice in the difference?
Well, obviously, you're going to have some places where you might hit a null because there's no tower. You're just not going to have access to that. But I'm,
okay, no, still no.
You know, if you're sitting in Chicago, you're very, very unlikely to have this happen. The other thing is they can prioritize. If you are sitting in Chicago where there is an awful lot of cell phone traffic, they may prioritize their own top tier subscribers who are, you know, subscribing with a big name are going to be in front of the guys who are on the MVNOs.
Okay. Does Verizon own AT&T?
No. Okay. Verizon is I laugh every time I think about it. They're actually an outgrowth of the old GTE, General Telephone, the terrible, terrible telephone company. But over the years, they ate a lot of players, as did many of these companies. And so
okay. I asked that because a friend has a track phone, and you mentioned that one. And
right.
They're through AT&T, so.
Well, no, not always. Track phone, you can get through, anymore with 5G and even 4 LTE. I'm not sure how much it matters, but Verizon is publicly traded on their own, and they've got a bunch of vulture capitalists, BlackRock or the Vanguard Group or all that, and they operate, this is AT&T, several subsidiaries under the banner, but the ultimate ownership is institutional investors.
I wondered if they really actually spent like $12 billion.
Verizon. Well, that's AT&T, but Verizon may. That the commercial for I forget which MVNO has that, but I hear that commercial often, and
it wouldn't surprise me because when you turn on the TV, it's like every commercial they bombard you with the same over and over. Verizon, AT&T, consumer cell wireless. Oh, you know.
Yeah, I would assume that they have allocated that. You know, one of the ways you can find out, these are all publicly traded companies. You can see what they're allocating on, and that's the way that that works. But they allocated $12 billion for customer investment. Now, that's not only advertising. And that's, in their own disclosures and all that. But that would include sponsorships, promotions, trade agreements, and obviously advertising. But it is it's customer investment, all the things that they do to entice customers to sign up for that service. That's all on that $12 billion. But to say that, is it all commercial? No, it's not all commercial.
As far as
commercial, I think I read somewhere that it was just under $4 billion. So it's there. And so the $12 billion is real, but a lot of that might be the incentives, sign up and we give you this kind of discount or what have you. But now it's driving me crazy which MVNO commercial says that. And so...
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'll let you go with that because I've taken up a good amount of time. You know, tomorrow we got a Blackhawks game tomorrow night.
No, as far as I know, if I do, it's news to me. As far as I know, I'm on live at 10 o'clock, and we'll talk to you then.
All right.
Okay. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. Now, obviously, it's a bad commercial, and I say that because, all the memorable commercials we'll talk about from time to time. To me, the definition of a good commercial is: do you remember the product? And on this spot about Verizon and their $12 billion, hear it nonstop. Don't remember which MVNO it is, and there's so many. So it could be, you know, pure. It could be, well, anyway. So there you have it. I don't know. Now, worse than that, Eduardo, I forgot your requests. I didn't write them down when we talked because I thought I was going off the air, so I forgot your requests. So call back and tell us your requests. Meanwhile, Jack in St. Charles has a request, and what is it you want to hear, Jack?
Oh, how about Hugo and Luigi? excuse me.
Hugo and Luigi, which? What?
Huh?
Which one?
Hugo and Luigi, La Plume du Matat, the pen of my aunt.
Okay. I got to look for that. I might have it. God knows. All right. And I just realized that, yeah, I know, we're in commercials. John's saying, you know, you're not on the air. Yeah, I figured that out. All right. I will try. Thanks.
Okay.
All right. Good deal. Appreciate it. Yeah. All right. So, yes, I realize we're in commercial break and then the news.
Dear gentlefolk of Newport, or maybe I should say hats and cats, I want you to lend an ear because, I want you to hear some really shimmering sharps and flats. For these cozy virtuosi, just about the greatest in the trade, are fixing to show you now precisely how, or approximately, jazz music is made. Well, you take some skins, jazz begins, and you take a bass. Man, now we're getting someplace. Take a box, one that rocks. Take a blue horn, New Orleans bar. Ah, you take a stick with a lick. Take a bone. Oh, hold the phone. Take a spot, cool and hot. Now you have jazz, 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 jazz. A little don't sound. Oh, that's positively therapeutic. Now you have jazz, jazz, jazz. Messrs. Hall and Young.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's from the music from the movie High Society. Cole Porter wrote that. And you have Bing Crosby and Louis Armstrong there in 1956 on Capitol. So, yeah, very very fine song. Now You Has Jazz. All right, so that's what Dave on the North Side wanted to hear. And along with Louise, and I got plenty to be thankful for. So, all right, we'll get to all those. I don't know if she's still with us or if she fell asleep hours ago, but Cindy in Chicago, are you still there?
Yeah, I have two pretty good songs for all my good friends and citizens in Chicago. You know, there's always drama here, whatever. But anyhow, what were my songs? Let's Misbehave and Happy Days Are Here Again.
Okay.
And then I am on Google AI now.
Uh-huh.
Did you know much about marketing? I had marketing, and the teacher said some families and people are laggards.
Sure.
Nope. And that's what my family was.
If you want to say laggers or late adopters, sure.
Yeah, and so now I'm on Google AI. I don't know if that's a new thing or if it's been
Well, I'm not a fan, by the way. There is so much wrong with that it's fine to use it as long as you realize that a lot of it is inaccurate.
I've had no problem
with
it.
Well, trust
me.
It depends what it is. But a lot of times, if you don't know for sure, you want to do some independent research before you believe it.
Oh. Okay. And then I guess I believe now. As far as like maybe I could make an investment in NVIDIA and just see. You know, I know it's a bubble, but... And then, anyhow, that's about it. And then I have, you know, I'm wondering if I have a lawsuit.
With what?
Well, I bought Purina diet food for my cat, and she blew up like a balloon. And I did a little research with the library, and they had changed their formula.
Did the cat die?
No, but she blew. I mean, they could get diabetes.
Did the cat have any, as you know, at this moment in time, lasting problems?
No, I.
Then
put
there's
her
no.
On
there's. Blue. I don't care what you did. The bottom line is, if the cat's still alive and isn't exhibiting any life threatening problems or things like that, there's no money in that lawsuit. So whether you could or couldn't, it's, you know, they're suit proof. You won't get a judgment on that.
All right, well, you know, I mean, wasn't it false advertising?
Well,
maybe
false advertising, but now, of course, you could get into class action suits and all that, which is a different deal, but in the case of filing an individual lawsuit, you've got to show loss. You've got to show economic loss. There's no lawsuit for my cat doesn't feel that great, and I'm upset about it. You'd have to be able to show that your cat developed diabetes to the point that you could show that it was from the product, which would be almost impossible. Your cat died, something like this. Those would be difficult, but I'm not saying it's out of the question. But in your case, the cat's alive and doesn't have any noticeable permanent damage. What are they going to do? They will not make you whole to say, gee, we want you to feel better.
Yeah, I guess Purina, I guess I'm through with the dog show on the holiday.
Well, no, I mean
they screwed me.
Well, you know, I mean, all those products, you can take a look at it and decide what you want to feed your animal or not. I'm a big fan, whether it's your animal or yourself, look at the ingredients. And if you can't find the ingredients right there, that's enough to say no.
Yeah, I have Blue Buffalo diet, and she lost about half of it. Yeah, she's... And I got a big bag, and it wasn't too expensive. Real nice food, and... So that's about it.
All right. Well,
migraine again.
Oh, I'm sorry to
hear that. I guess that was Sunday. I don't know. You know, one of my cousins, I'm back talking to the one that real, the whole Albert side. But then he said, well, what does the doctor say? And I said, I really don't give a damn. I'm sorry if I'm supposed to say that. I said, I've had migraines for 50 years, and I just take my pills, and it goes away in 2 hours, and I don't really give a damn.
All right.
I mean, I don't get the pain in my head. I just get all the aura and the arms going numb and just all this.
All right. Well, glad you don't get the pain. That's something right there. And also glad it goes away and glad the cat is doing well.
Yeah.
So I'll get Let's Behave on for you, Billy D. Williams version. I'll play it next.
Let's Misbehave.
Yes, Let's Misbehave.
I thought you said Let's Behave.
No, Let's Misbehave, Billy D. Williams.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right, so there you have it, 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH. And let's see, Jim has a request as well. So, all right, Jim, what's the request?
Give you my request. I want to tell you about the Verizon commercials.
Okay.
They've been coming out with commercials saying that Verizon will buy up your T-Mobile and AT&T bill, and we'll give you a better bill.
Right.
And then the next thing you know it, they go into a car dealership and say, I want this car because Verizon will give me a better bill if you
right.
I'm taking this car at a better deal. And they go, no, get out of here. And a woman walks into a TV store with a big screen TV and said, I got this deal. But Verizon will give me a better deal, so I want you to give me a better deal on this TV.
Yeah.
And that's what Verizon has been doing on television.
Okay, well, the spots we were talking about was the Pure Talk, which is a small MVNO, it's veteran owned, and they're putting out commercials that are basically saying, how are we able to charge so little for our service? Well, because we're not spending $12 billion in advertising like Verizon. So that's right. What they're talking
and
about.
And number two is the other night, I don't remember if you were talking to Johnny P, but you had mentioned a song, and I can't remember the name, but it started with D, and the last name was H. And you said, I love this song. I would love to play this. And I've been racking my brain to find out what it was.
D and H, that's not enough information for me to even have a clue.
Right, but you said you love this song, and you would love to play this on your own. And I don't remember what it was. But if you can't remember,
no, of course not. Of course not, because there's tons of songs I love. You know how that is.
Right. Right. Can you play a couple of songs that you love and you haven't played, and it's for me?
Okay. You know what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking maybe it was O.C. Smith, The Season.
Right.
That might have been, because I did say I wanted to play O.C. Smith.
Right.
Maybe tomorrow night. I've only got one left for tonight, and that's already been taken by Cindy in Chicago.
No, you don't have to play it tonight.
But yeah, I think it was the O.C. Smith.
Right, and play songs that you love that I requested.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you for everything you do for me.
Absolutely.
Have a wonderful evening.
Well, you too. All right, so 888-876-5593. Yeah, fool that I was, I told you the show was over 45 minutes ago, and it's not. So if you want the last 15 minutes, you pretty much can have it. But Billy Dee Williams will get it next with in fact, Let's Misbehave. Another Cole Porter song coming up on WGN Radio.
You can have a great career, and you should. Only one thing stops you, dear, you're too good. If you want a future, baby, why don't you get a past? 'Cause that fatal moment's coming at last. We're all alone, no chaperone can get our number. The world's in slumber, let's misbehave. There's something wild about you, child, that's so contagious. Let's be outrageous, let's misbehave. When Adam won his hand, he wouldn't stand for teasing. He didn't care about those apples out of season. They say that spring means just one thing to little lovebirds. We're not above birds.
WGN Radio, I'm Robbie James. And that is Billy Dee Williams. Yes, Let's Misbehave. 1961 on Prestige, and from the album of the same name. So that's it for tonight's bumpers. I'll get the other Bing Crosby's on tomorrow night. Yeah, I got plenty to be thankful for. It comes from the movie Holiday Inn, which they actually named the Holiday Inn chain after. Yeah, the movie came first in this case. So we'll do that. As far as Happy Days Are Here Again, I don't know who I'll play that by for Cindy, but I'll think of something. But in the meantime, we have Naoto in Japan. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm currently looking for a new place to live, like in terms of like housing, you know.
Yeah, now in Japan or somewhere else?
Yeah, in Japan.
Okay, and so tell me about it.
So, yeah, I'm looking for, you know, relatively cheap options to, you know, rent.
Yeah.
And I find a pretty nice place.
Yeah.
The only problem with it is it's very close to, like, tomb, you know, like.
It's close to what?
a tomb or a grave?
Oh, okay, a cemetery.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. They won't bother you. They're dead.
Yeah, so, you know, it's totally, I think, you know, how someone thinks about it is like, totally, like,
no, I don't have, you know, it's funny you mention this. Years ago, when I had to find a place because a tree fell through my house, and I had to find a place fairly quickly, it exploded. So I looked around, and I found this great apartment. It was really nice. It was like 2,000 square feet and all that. And they told me, they said, well, someone is looking at it, and they're very interested, but they're not sure because it overlooks a cemetery. And I looked, and it did. What do I care? So I said, really? I'll take it. And so I got the apartment, and I understand later that person came back a couple days later and was just furious. But it's like, it wasn't going to bother me. They continue to be dead. Now, what did bother me about it, and I didn't realize at the time, was in that cemetery was a big radio tower that I ignored. You know, I thought, well, that'd be nice view. I like looking at radio towers. Well, unfortunately, it was a full Class B FM radio station, and I heard that on every coil I had. It didn't matter whether it was a hide-a-bed, whether it was a refrigerator, whether it was a toaster. And I swear to God, I think that my permanent retainers in my mouth were picking up this radio station. So the bottom line was I started to have to wrap everything in ferrite. And so I had more ferrite than a mine, for God's sakes. But assuming that your cemetery doesn't have a radio tower in it, I highly advise you to take it. I'm not worried about the ghosts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was very interesting about your opinion, so
no,
thank you for
response. I wouldn't worry at all. Now, of course, if the ghosts do become, you know, visible or noticeable, you can probably get a lot of publicity dollars about this. You can write books and be on YouTube, and, you know, I mean, there's probably all sorts of economic advantages if they actually talk, but I don't think they will.
Yeah, so that's pretty interesting perspective, so
yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, I don't see how you can lose.
Yeah.
And it'll be quiet.
Yeah, I would consider that properties, you know.
Yeah. How many people buried in this cemetery?
Well, I'm not quite sure, but it seems like the cemetery is not so large, so it's probably not that many people.
Oh, all right. So
yeah,
not a lot of people coming to visit, so there won't be any traffic tie-ups. So yeah, if that's the only holdup, I say go for it.
Okay. Thanks for the advice.
Let me know if you take it.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Okay,
bye. All right.
Bye.
Yeah, I had no problem with the cemetery. So, you know, I wouldn't have anyway, but yeah, that Class B tower. And I remember talking to someone, one of the electronic companies, when I was on the lookout for all forms of ferrite. And, you know, they treated me like I was basically some dumb girl, you know, there. Oh, I'm sure it's not a radio. It's probably just something on the roof. I said, it's a full Class B FM. And at that point, you know, they were a little more understanding that maybe I had an idea what I might be talking about. But yeah, we got it on absolutely everything. But other than that, it was just a delight. But yeah, one of the many places I've lived that have provided a world full of stories over the years. Usually I'm glad to be on the other side of them when I'm telling them. But in that case, that was a good place to live. Well, it was also the place where I was up there on a higher floor, and I was it was in Wincote, which is a suburb of Philadelphia, trying to listen to WHAT to this record I really wanted to hear in the middle of the night. And, well, anyway, I almost fell off the porch. Lost the radio. It was a C-Crane radio, too, as far as that goes. But yeah, I was, you know, I got a little Class 4, you know, with 1,000 watts at night and not good watts and all that. But so, yeah, other than almost falling to my death, yeah, and the Class B FM, it really was a perfectly fine place to live. So 888-876-5593 if you want the final word. Now, what I am doing as we speak, as far as that goes, and I'll tell you more about MS Now tomorrow, maybe, as far as that goes. And we'll also get more into Halloween candy and costumes and all of that. But what I'm doing now is I'm going to WGNradio.com to find out for sure that there is no game tomorrow night, since obviously I screwed up tonight and I was on earlier. Hope you enjoyed it. It'll never happen again. And the night before, I screwed up because I was on later. So I'm thinking that tomorrow it will be guaranteed to be 10. Yeah, right. Okay, Thursday. Oh no. Oh, I was wrong. Now, see, I didn't even see this on the schedule. Here I am saying Thursday. I'm glad I didn't put this on the website yet. When there is a Blackhawks game at Winnipeg. All right, go Winnipeg. I shouldn't say that, but nonetheless, 10:30 supposedly. All right, so I'll have to redo. And the Blackhawks usually don't go into overtime. So we'll see what we can do about that. But so 10:30. Now, why didn't I know about this? I swear this wasn't on any list they gave me. But then again, you never know. But so a Thursday starts. So there you have it. Now let's see in the waning moment. Yes, singular at this point, pretty much what we can do. Oh, yes, I was talking to Bob off the air. He sends me so many wonderful links, and it makes my job a pleasure to do because I am work adverse, and it's just wonderful. And he was talking about, the dog that flagged down the patrol car when Grandma tripped and fell. Now, it's interesting. They do have a video. I can't really tell because they say the dog signaled the cop. I'd love to know precisely what the dog did to signal the deputy, and I will look for that. But the real hero of the story to me is the deputy who paid attention to the dog, because far too often people will just ignore what an animal is trying to convey. But in this case, the officer was smart. And obviously the dog was smart as well. They named it Ior. Yeah, so that's an interesting history right there. So Grandma is now fine. There were a lot of Grandma stories this week. There was another one I read where a woman was on a cruise ship and took one of those adventures and anyway didn't get back to the cruise ship. They left without her. And they come back when they, or send people back when they realize the error of their way. By then she was dead. So yeah, that wasn't a happy ending as far as that one. But on this one it was. I haven't had much information on Jamaica yet. And again, we were talking last night. I think part of that is because the infrastructure is so badly damaged that we're just not getting much out of it as yet. But I'll look for more on that. And maybe we can talk about that tomorrow night as well. So yeah, I got to check this website more often to find out when I am on the radio. So yeah, last hour I thought I was leaving. Well, Bob was like, do you want me to run a tape? Yeah. And so we thank Bob for keeping me in line, which he does beautifully. And we thank John for screening your calls. Which he also, but above all, again, I thank all of you for calling. So tomorrow night, we believe that it's around 10:30. God, I'm glad I looked at that. All right, so that'll be a deal. I'll talk to you then. Life is always such a surprise, isn't it? Until then, now this time, that is a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.